Happy birthday, Church! Yes, David has a very special cake, and I think he'll be announcing it at the end during the announcements. Yes. So Pentecost is the birthday of the Church, and today we have read of an amazing party that happened 2,000 years ago when the Holy Spirit came down and anointed the believers with power. We have come to the conclusion of our 50-day celebration of Easter, and today I would like us to go back to the origin of the Church, to the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost was and is one of the most important days in the history of the Church. After Christmas and Easter, Pentecost is the third major festival. If Christmas marks the birth of Jesus, Pentecost marks the birth of the Church. If Easter marks the day when Jesus was raised from the dead, Pentecost marks the day when Church was given new life through the Spirit. The third great day in the Christian calendar is rooted in the story in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, and celebrates the day when the Holy Spirit descended on the apostles and other believers who were gathered in one place in Jerusalem. Jesus ascended to heaven 40 days after his resurrection, and we celebrated the ascension of Christ last week on Thursday, and we are now 10 days later. When we see verse 1 of Acts chapter 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, just like us. They were all together in one place. When the Church is gathered, the Lord is present. Because it is His promise, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll be with them, I'll be amongst them. Here we come to understand what the secret of unity is, the secret of the Spirit. We are the Church, and this is our story, this is our history. It was Pentecost when the Church was given new life through the Spirit. It is fascinating to me that Luke tells us that Jesus' ministry began with that announcement of the Spirit's empowerment when he said in his Nazareth manifesto, which is given in Luke chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the good news. So the Church ministry begins with the Spirit falling on the entire Church. Before Pentecost, those men were hiding from the public for fear that what had happened to Jesus, their Lord, might have also happened to them. After Pentecost, those frightened men had become suddenly and miraculously equipped and empowered to carry on the mystery Jesus had begun in the very city of Jerusalem, where Jesus had so recently been put to death, in that very same city. Pentecost is the day we remember when and how the anointing took place. And let us look at the time. When did they receive this new life? When did their life change forever? It was a day of Pentecost. But what does the day of Pentecost mean? It simply means 50th or 50th day. Luke St. Luke points only to the history and only to the timing of God. When the day of Pentecost had come. Now, this makes it sound like the day of Pentecost was already a known, well-known holiday, just like Christmas, or maybe some other holiday you remember. Now, it was Pentecost, is simply the Greek word for 50th, and it refers to the Jewish festival that came on the 50th day after Passover. And that was, as it's called in the Old Testament, the Feast of the Weeks. It came 7 weeks after Passover, seven weeks, 49, and the next day would be the 50th. For Jews, Pentecost was the time when they celebrated the first harvest and gave thanks to God for their harvest. It was a day for the Spirit of the Lord to celebrate His harvest, when 3,000 people gave their life to Christ, when Peter preached to them. So what actually happened on the day of Pentecost? It says, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. It was just the sound of the violent wind, not the wind itself, it seems. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. What's one sets the stage? Jesus had told his disciples that the Father had times and names set by his own authority. Clearly, the day of Pentecost was one of them. It was a day to celebrate the end of the wheat harvest, and now a day to celebrate the beginning of the world harvest. On the day of Pentecost, the promise that Jesus made was fulfilled, because he said, you will receive the Holy Spirit. And it was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. Jesus instructed the apostles and the believers to wait in Jerusalem for the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, this is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. He told them to wait and pray. Wait and pray. And first was the song, like the rush of a violent wind, was the audio. Now the visual. Divided tongues as a fire appeared to them, and a tongue rested on each one of them. Tongues of fire, little flames as it were, appearing on the head of each believer, all 120. But the wind and fire were merely accompanying signs. The central event of Pentecost was the fact that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. All 120 of them. No partiality. When you give your life to the Lord, He will fill you with the Holy Spirit. God is not respecter of men. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And these 120 Christians now had their tongues enlivened and empowered and enkindled by the Holy Spirit in order to tell others the great things of God. God can use ordinary people to do some extraordinary things. They opened their mouths, they spoke coherent words in languages they had never learned. It's a miracle. But we sometimes find ways to interpret the miracles of the Bible. It's a supernatural event. These 120 were all Jews from the land of Israel, and that means they normally spoke Aramaic. That was the vernacular they had grown up speaking. But now, suddenly, they started speaking in all sorts of other languages, ones they had never learned. God, in His infinite mercy, gave them a gift that bypassed their minds, that enabled their spirit to address God with their own mouths. They praised God for His mighty works, for that's what it was. And 120 of them started praising God in a way that they had done in their lives before. They hadn't done. It was for the first time they praised the Lord in that manner. For the first time, God was right inside of them to have complete control. They had now met the third person of the Godhead. The true meaning of Pentecost is this. The Church of Christ had now met the third person of the Trinity. Their heartfelt prayers of previous 6 weeks had now added praise. This is the first mark of the Spirit-filled life, that they can praise God. They can say Alleluia and mean it. They can praise God out of a full heart. Praise is not normal to us. By nature, we don't praise God. Instead, we complain. I think the very first word children learn is not fair. For anything, you know, if you have children, you know, there is something and the child will say, it's not fair. We learn to complain. By nature, we don't praise God. We can present our prayers, but not our praise. Generally, we go to God with our shopping list, especially when we are in trouble. And sometimes I think about the prayer life of Jesus Christ. It says at many places in the Gospels, early in the morning, He went on the mountain to pray. Mark's Gospel chapter 1, I think it's verse 14, says early, when it was still dark, Jesus went up to the mountain to pray. He wasn't ill, He wasn't depressed, He wasn't feeling kind of having any spiritual trouble. He was fully God and fully man, a complete human being. Why did He go to pray? To have fellowship with God His Father. Why do we pray? To ask something from God? To praise God, just to have fellowship with the Lord. That's what He wants. This is what Jesus did throughout His life. He did not need any physical, healing or any spiritual healing. Of mental healing. He spent time with His Father, all because He wanted to have fellowship with the Lord. Praise is something that the Spirit inspires. And the Spirit can inspire us to praise God even when we go through a difficult time in life. Only the Holy Spirit can help us navigate the rough waters of this world. Only the Holy Spirit can calm our fears and restore order in our lives. He alone can empower us to face the daily challenges of our lives, families, communities, and our world at large. The believers were together. They did nothing except prayer. That was the pattern. Those 120 disciples were just a handful of rather ordinary men and women, a few fishermen, a couple of housewives, a former tax collector, a few farmers, and some servant girls. Yet through these ordinary people, God built a church which has lasted now over 2,000 years. Prior to the day of Pentecost, the apostles were a group of fearful men, as I said in the beginning. They hid in a locked room, expecting at any time to be arrested or even killed for being a follower of Jesus. This was a demoralized group, but they started to pray. They started to spend time with the Lord, and things began to change. The Holy Spirit glorifies the Lord Jesus. It is our duty to glorify the Lord. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. As the first verse of Epistle reading says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The nature of this Spirit empowered them to live for Christ. It empowered them to live, first of all pointing to Jesus. The Holy Spirit glorifies the Lord, as I said. The kind of life God intends us to live points not to us, not to our accomplishments, but to the Lord of life, Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit that came on that first Pentecost is the same Holy Spirit that is active in the church here and the world today. It is this Spirit that comes into our lives, into the church, to allow us to spread God's message of love to all people. It is this Spirit that points not to itself, not to himself, but to Christ. It is this Spirit which enables us to point not to ourselves, but to Christ. It is this Spirit which makes the church the body of Christ, this totally unique organization on the face of the earth. May God, the Holy Spirit, create new life in us, renew and refresh us as we turn in obedience and faith to him. In the name of God, whose Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.